I want the spokespeople to sit down before they say we meet under the tree. Can they sit down now? I know these spokespeople are going to say we meet under the tree. This is a boardroom, chief. Can you sit down now? Yes, sir. State law advisor. Can come in. I hope everybody has got the agenda in front of you. I do have an agenda. You don't have an agenda?
No.
You must make sure. Kosana, did you get the agenda wherever you are? Oh, why do you have so many agendas?
No agenda, no bonus.
Good. I'm also saying good morning to the media people. How are you?
Mm-hmm.
You're fine. I hope you've seen the agenda there. The agenda, the commission, let's say good morning to all the commission. Where is the chair of the commission? You are acting. He's gone on holiday again.
No, my dear.
I see. Yeah, okay. That's right. You must put in an apology. We thought that it's important to have the commission to come back, to come and engage with us, as we had promised. Really, they are not going to be saying much today than answering from what honorable members of parliament would be asking you. I had also solicited from the minister to find out that those honorable members that are in the commission, how much rights do they have to express their point of views. She did say that it was always going to be very difficult when there's a chair and a deputy chair in the commission for them to express them so independently from the commission. I'm trying to address Groeneveld's problem, and he is not sitting down to listen. Yes, you can come and sit next to me. I've not seen you for a very long time. I was working on a possibility of co-option. I know you. I was just wondering who will marry who between the two. Goeiemôre, Smiley.
Goeiemôre.
Hoe gaan het met u? Gaan goed, man. Geen klachten? All the way from Middelburg. No, I know you don't understand Afrikaans from Amtata, so it's a problem. I'll help you. So most of the time today, the session goes from the members of parliament raising issues with the commission and expressing to them some of the concerns that have been raised by the unions or any other person who was in the public hearing. So it's a session really that you are going to speak to them and they will answer where it is possible. The issue that I also have to clarify, which is one of the ground rules, I want to clarify it, is that we have been clear that we don't know anything about the interim report. And we do know that, for a matter of fact, that the interim report has been given to the minister. So the commission won't be able to go into that direction, and we should not drag and drawn in the commission around that particular area, because they have made their position long clear to the committee that they have submitted it to the minister. And the minister has acknowledged that the report is with her, and she has outlined the processes. So the report and the questions of whatever we'd want to engage with, we just have to be very careful that the commission wouldn't be able to express itself around that particular area, because that report has not been made public for us to be able to go into it. Commission, we have had a number of hearings from different people, different stakeholders. So members of parliament are really, if they can, they are going to be quite straightforward on issues of concern that have arisen during the public hearings. It's your last opportunity because you are the drafters of the bill, which has have to express to us how did you arrive at some of the decisions that you have taken, so that we could be able to be on par with you at this particular moment. And then tomorrow, delegation is going there. And then tomorrow we've got all the legal representatives. I hope person from Parliament is ready. Person, where are you? Oh, you are here. And then we have the state law advisors have to be ready, and we've got the departmental advisors. We'll be dealing with all their submissions tomorrow. But today we're taking the last submission from the commission itself. So? Yeah, no, it's fine. But it's members of parliament, it's their day today. They will be throwing it back to you to hear what is your thinking, and you can respond to that. As I'm saying, that be careful about the interim report, don't go into it, because we have clarified that with the ministry and with everybody. Good morning, David. Do you have a question, Honorable David?
I do, thank you, Chair. I recognize your ruling that the interim commission are not going, or that the commission will not speak on the interim report. But, Chair, I wonder if you could clarify. I understand that you have corresponded with the Speaker of the National Assembly on the interim report. Can you give us any idea of when you expect to receive a response, if indeed you have not already received a response from the Speaker?
That's why I had asked you earlier, did you receive the agenda of today? And I know that at least you know that I've long consulted you that the day of today is a matter of us dealing with the interim commission. So I wouldn't want us to open up that particular discussion. I mean, I'll give the details at the right time to express to all of you what is exactly going on. But I did express today that the day today is about the commission, and let's focus on the commission itself. There's no pressure. We are following all parliamentary processes, and you know I've been explaining to every member of parliament to understand how those parliamentary processes are going, and we're going to wait at that level and come back to the committee itself. So I don't want us to bench and go into it at this particular moment. Let's focus on the commission itself. You'll get your answer. Not today, anytime. I know there's a lot of press reading. This topic is very topical, but I don't want us to go into it. I want us to be able to finish the bill with the commission itself. Can I give you opportunity, honorable members of parliament, to ask questions from the commission itself? Good morning, honorable Mazir. Is there any member of parliament who have got a question to the commission? I know I have clarified with the ministry. You do have your double cap up. I can't resist. Yes, sir, honorable member.
The pertinent honorable member, I want to give the commission to respond to the correspondence.
I thought you would give the commission first to respond to the points which were raised by the other stakeholders before the MPs engage us.
No, I thought that, you see, it is the day of the members of parliament. You see, if there are issues that the commission, I just expressed to you that acting chairperson here that I will give you an opportunity to express, but I just wanted to see to it that can the members of parliament express their own point of views, and then after that I'll give you an opportunity to conclude and round up everything that you think has ever been said, that has not been said. Tata?
Indeed, Chair, that will be very helpful because we'll get a good sense of whatever other issues we might have missed in the correspondence that has come to us. Thank you.
Members of parliament, I give over to yourselves.
Chair, I have several questions, but I'd like to start with a question of process. And I would like the Commission to... Can I proceed, Chair? I understand that one of the functions of the Commission was to make recommendations about the establishment of the National Defence Force Service Commission. And I would like the Commission to walk us through very carefully the process between the Commission making recommendations to the Minister and the bill arriving in Parliament. What processes were followed?
There was fear that the establishment of the commission is an undermine of the defense to be under a union, and also to overlook the question of the bargaining council. Can the commission clarify us on that as well?
Any other member?
The issue that, as Maziev said, that the issue of the bargaining, council is a very outstanding issue. And also coming out of that, it's how did you overlook the Constitutional Court ruling? And how did you overlook the issue of the regulations that have been suggested? Did the Commission arrive at the decision that it has arrived? Even the Public Service Commission, what and how do you see yourself, relating to the Public Service Commission to arrive at this particular decision? It's all in the process, but it's more to give us more substance and comfortability that there has been consultation with quite a number of stakeholders. You can go ahead.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to ask the Commission, there are some interim reports, and I know that there should be a final report in the end. Can the Commission give us an indication to the Portfolio Committee, when do they foresee that there will be a final report on the work of the Commission?
But you are not undermining my ruling that says I wouldn't want the Commission to venture into the interim reports themselves.
I don't want the content. I just want to have an indication. It's actually part of the process, maybe. So when do they foresee to have a final report?
Yeah, Chairperson, I know it is not the time for us to get into debates. However, Chairperson, I disagree with the position presented by Honorable Groenewald. And I suggest that, Chairperson, we continue without having an interest to the whether it's interim report or whatever it is, until such time when the committee itself will be discussing around that, and the committee will have an opportunity, if we so wish, to invite the commission to get that clarity. But for now, Chairperson, our focus is on the feedback in terms of public hearing, and I want us to concentrate on that through you, Chairperson.
Look, be patient. I'll still leave the commission to reflect on this. I'll observe both observations. I know that both of you have commented, but I'll see how far the commission venture. As I said, I forewarn the commission that don't go into the interim report. We don't want to hear about it. We don't have it, so wouldn't want to get into it. So if you are not careful, members of parliament are very itchy to always ask questions. They are very educated and they are very energetic. Let's just go with it.
Okay.
stand for human, David. Is there any other member of parliament who's got a question? Stella?
I hope
the commission is writing down and they are distributing the questions and they're going to give us guidance. I see you are putting up a slide. Is that your slide?
Yes,
sir. Or it's also in response?
It's what we had prepared in response to.
Chair, it is what we had prepared in response to what we had gathered from the public hearing.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question to the Commission is on the issue of the pronouncement by the State President on the union, our stance as government versus unions. Is it addressed in the bill? If not, when do you seek to address that? Because I'm concerned, because why we felt the need for establishment of the National Defense Commission was because of the strikes that took place that time. Then we felt the need to respond to the conditions that the soldiers are working on and then create a body that seeks to address whatever is being the cause. Now, if the bill does not seek to address that, when do you think this can be addressed? Because we really need to respond and implement the President's call. Thank you.
The one question that I know is very thorny. It's the relationship of the minister with the commission. The union feels that the way that bill is crafted out, the minister is dictatorial. A dictator, that's what they were saying, and we had to stop them from using such harsh words. But that is the feeling they were expressing. And they think that if you give her the powers within the bill to appoint the committee that is going to do the selection of people who are going to sit on the commission, that is like giving her enormous powers to continue with her dictatorship. Is that a correct reflection? Give us a sense. You know more better than us. That what is the state of things at that level? Because when we go through, we'd have to deal with the powers of the minister versus the commission itself. So you need to, you are the crafters and drafters of the bill. You'd be able to have to give us a sense that if the appointment is done by herself, because this is what they are saying, that you can put up that committee that is supposed to do the appointment, but if it's under her wing, she's like saying that she's reappointing people that, or she's appointing people that belongs to them. We have clarified the issue of parliamentarians that are members of parliament sit here. I don't know. You are not an advisor to anybody that we elect you from this place. No, don't worry. There's one more call. The one thing that, so it means that within that relationship, we need some assurance that in the bill it is there, how do you think it's going to work and how is it going to influence the work of the commission itself. As I said, my other question was always about, in the presentation you had the issue of national security. You had an issue of national security. Now you need to give us a sense that, do you really need a commission that runs through and tell us that there are issues of national security? The response from the side of the minister was to say that, yes, there are national security issues. That's why people have to be vetted who are going to deal with the commission itself. But out of your own experience, give us a sense of your own experience. You see, don't write the report. Don't create problems, but give us a sense. If you venture to say things that we don't agree, we'll tell you, but members of parliament are very bright people, so they ask a lot of questions. Give us a sense of exactly, do you deserve to be taken to a vetting committee, those that will be reappointed? Is the national security threat when you're dealing with the commission? For the public service commission, it doesn't go through the same process. Does it go through the same process? What is your experience? Why do you need and make us to want to put you under a national security? Is there a threat that they're going to be dealing with? Service conditions, are they a threat to the country? I'm just asking. Kunyamwara, Honorable Khunabat, you want to say something? That will allow me that you are free, you are a liberty to ask and also to answer. Mamo Mkabadelu, you are at liberty to ask and free. You can put on your 1 minute, your parliamentary cap, 1 minute, you can take it off and become a commissioner. It's a very complex commission, but you do stand that opportunity. Yeah. Tato Kronabat.
Thank you, Jefferson. More. Good, it's only 3 weeks that was it. Jefferson, I don't want to change your order, but I want to make a suggestion. Shouldn't we allow the Commission to make their presentation? Because quite a lot of the questions that have been raised now may be answered in the presentation. So if they answer now, we have to listen to the presentation again. So I want to ask you, maybe let me make the ruling that the Commission gives the presentation, and then after that we can take the questions and even further questions. It's only a suggestion.
Your suggestion is not wrong. You see, I also deal with elements of capacity. So we wanted to see if members of parliament have been following the public hearings, you see, so that it doesn't seem as if it's a one-man's committee. So that's all I was trying to check, that have you been listening to the public? You see, the public is also listening to your occasion here. And now you see, if ever one person talks and it's only them talking, it seems as if you have never listened to them. So my test was, have members of parliament listen to the public hearings, and I have a sense that they did. Now I'm going to give over to the commission to stretch its mind and express its own point of views and say whatever I've said. But I just wanted to be assured that members of parliament have been listening to the public hearings. The opportunity goes to the commission itself. I see you still have something to ask me, Mr. Mlambo. Okay. Did COSA to ask you to ask a question?
Yeah.
Okay, so why don't you represent COSAT? Oh, I see. No, I'm always careful. I know, son of the working class, you might just have an agenda that I don't know. You see, there are people that I must keep on checking, like, are they going to come up with their own agendas of the working class here, you see? So that's why I'm asking, where are you, you see? Tatu Mbumluan, we are giving this occasion over to you.
Thank you, sir.
Honourable Chair,
I'm not sure. Maybe it's because I'm late. I have not seen copies of the presentation, and it looks like the member is just going to make those present that presentation.
You want the copy? Take my copy. I'll get a copy. There's a situation. I just hope that you'll also give to everybody. I usually also give to the journalist. Fanagut, who's spokesperson? Who's the spokesperson?
I'm here.
Okay, you can see we are circulating it to everybody. It's not done underground here or under a tree. It's very transparent in the portfolio committee. Don't worry, sit down.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, you'll also get your copy, sir. You have enough copies to talk? Make money. How many people have not received? Did the members of parliament, do members of parliament have copies? Let me be assured. Do members of parliament have the copies in front of them? No, don't worry. I see. Yeah. Yeah. Are you ready, sir? Or Mapaya? You know, members of parliament are interested of under the tree, because they have not seen trees in parliament. But it's fine. Let's deal with the commission. Commission, are you ready?
Thank you, sir.
Take it light, my boy. Don't worry, my brother. There.
Okay.
Is the commission ready?
Yes, sir.
Chair and the honorable members of the portfolio committee, I wish to first apologize on behalf of the chair of the commission, Judge Busiello, whose court role begins today, and in fact yesterday, and he has had a number of cases that he could not put off without undue prejudice. And also to apologize on behalf of the deputy chair, who also has engagements he can't get out of at the Reserve Bank. And so you have only me to sing on behalf of the commission. But my colleagues here present will participate in taking the questions that have been raised, if anything is outstanding after this presentation. Our purpose is to brief the portfolio committee as much as we can in response to the submissions that came through the public hearings on the bill before us. And of course, it is an opportunity to reconnect with you and to be available to learn any insights that have arisen for you during this process. We want to do a little bit of backgrounding, some of which might touch on some of the questions raised and maybe some of the process issues. And we'd like to deal with our understanding of the role of the proposed commission in the bill and to address the relationship between the commission and the bargaining council, which is certainly a thorny issue, and to address the matter of the role of the Minister of Defense and Military Veterans before we get to a full discussion. I should like to say that the Interim National Defense Force Service Commission highly appreciates the opportunity to present its response to the Portfolio Committee, and as we share some background that we have. There are some fundamental principles that I think are important to take into account. One of them is the fundamental premise of the nature of the soldiering career, which is that of a life given to the state. The Bill of Rights, Section 11, is a table of non-derogable rights that determine that everyone has the right to life, which right cannot be limited. But soldiers are prepared to forego this profound right through the oath that they take upon joining the South African National Defense Force, requiring them to sacrifice their lives, and this is unlike any other occupation. The significance of this life reality for the soldier, for his or her family and their loved ones, is profound indeed. The state is therefore obligated to ensure that the conditions of soldiers' lives under oath and that of their families are, as much as is possible, recognizing that we never really can, to the fullest extent, commensurate to their sacrifice. The central purpose of the bill before us is to create a reliable and all-embracing infrastructure for the soldier's life. We recruit the soldier with the family to form the military community that requires an all-encompassing system of support. Against this background, it is important to note, honorable members, that the Department of Defense has for some time been concerned with the need to create such an effective framework as proposed through this bill. And we have some milestones in this process, the conceptualization of the National Defense Force Service Commission to advise the Minister of Defense and military veterans on the complex issues relating to the soldiers' conditions of service actually began in 2003-2004. And actually, this is contrary to the popular view that it came out of last year's August events. The Justice, Crime Prevention and Security Cluster assisted the Department of Defense with advice on the concept. In 2009, early, beginning of the year, there was an international benchmarking visit on the concept by the Department of Defense. The matter was presented for discussion, I understand, to the then Portfolio Committee on Defense, with the idea of creating a specialized system supported through a special commission outside of the normal public service system. In July 2009, Chair and Honorable Members, the new Minister of Defense and Military Veterans, in her maiden speech to Parliament, mentioned her intention to create this kind of infrastructure. Now, we're sharing here the picture of the prehistory of this concept, as was shared with the Interim National Defense Force Service Commission at our orientation in October 2009. And this is to say, therefore, that this has been long in gestation. The proposed National Defense Force Service Commission is therefore at the center of the long sought after unique dispensation of the South African National Defense Force that is outside of the public service that will ensure adequate consideration of the uniqueness of conditions of service of the soldier and his and her family circumstances. In the spirit of this broad, consultative and advisory nature of the National Defense Force Service Commission, it will focus on policies, on procedures, and processes that are necessary to improve the quality of service life for the soldier, rather than matters of execution and implementation. Therefore, it will focus on matters regarding the definition of conditions of service in the bill. Sorry, the matters referring to definition of conditions of service that are in the bill, the National Defense Force Service Commission will recommend to the Minister on appropriate processes, on criteria and standards. But I have to emphasize that the execution resides with the Minister and the National Defense Force. I think the House, the committee, will be glad to hear, in the light of all the debates that have gone on with regard to the Military Bargaining Council, that the Interim National Defense Force Service Commission proposes the following amendment to Section 55.1 of the Principal Act to read as follows. Members of the Regular Force and Reserve Force must receive such pay, salaries, and entitlements, including allowances, disbursements, and other benefits in respect of their life or their service, training, or duty in terms of this Act, as may from time to time be agreed upon in the Military Bargaining Council, recommended by the Commission to and approved by the Minister in consultation with the Minister of Finance. In effect, this actually means that the Military Bargaining Council is not proposed to be excluded, because indeed, in terms of the existing regulations, it will always be there. And the question of the military trade unions that the Honourable Member referred to with respect to the injunction of the Commander-in-Chief, President of the Republic, that indeed is a matter that's different from the purpose of this holistic infrastructure of the Service Commission. Now on the matter of the role of the minister. Ministerial commissions have standard processes in terms of how they operate. There are various levels of commissions, some being constitutional commissions, such as the Chapter 9 institutions, others being ministerial commissions that are created in agreement in cabinet to support the work of various ministries and departments. All of these relate directly to the culture of the executive that functions in the collective of the cabinet. And therefore, these processes entail cabinet reporting lines and the standard oversight by parliament. And that really means that regardless of who the minister is at any given time, these processes stay because they are institutionalized. It is our view, therefore, even though we had previously recommended a presidential appointment of the commission, with a better understanding of the systems and the protocols that function in the operations of the executive, we have, as a commission, accepted that the proposed commission will function as a ministerial commission that is subject to these checks and balances that cabinet provides with the parliamentary oversight. One more thing that I should like to reference, it is that matter that has been raised by the Khoisan delegation on the representativeness of the selection of the proposed service commission. We believe that the proposed process of nomination will be a public and transparent process where every section of South African society will be free to nominate appropriate candidates, and these will be given a fair opportunity. And indeed, the matter of national security, as has been raised, will always be a factor. It is always a factor because members of the commission are dealing with all areas of the life of the National Defense Force, including areas of the tools of trade that remain a matter of national security. It is also true that when they visit other countries, they are given the opportunity to see areas of those countries' defense force systems that would obligate them to retain. It is a blessing, Chair. I was just saying that the proposed process of selection, nominations and selection, will be a public, open public process where every South African will have the right and the opportunity to nominate and be nominated. And that we would hope then that nobody would be prevented from making a case for appropriate candidates. But I should say that with respect to the matters of national security, it is imperative, I believe, from our experience, that people are vetted for security because of the very nature of the institution and the life of the military community. We have, in the process, and I believe that our delegation has made this case in the last couple of visits to the committee, we have spent some time talking to the troops at various levels in all the services. And we are acutely conscious of the desperate need for a really comprehensive system that deals with the life of the soldier in all its ramifications. Because, as I say, you're dealing here with people that have given their life to the country, who, at the end of their career, would still be members of this community in various ways. And so it is almost like coming into a particular community for your life, and that's what makes it distinctly different from any regular workplace that one goes to when you're in the military, and your whole family comes in with you in your pledge to give your life upon need for the security of the country. And before I reach conclusion, let me just say,
Kosatu, come this end. Sit next to the lawyers here, they're going to give you advice. Just come around here. Can you just make them comfortable at this end? You have enough seats for them. You are going to have an opportunity. Why don't you give them the time to find another one? Well, you're going to do it. If you're going to be a committee, you're going to be a committee. You're going to just give them the presentation from the commission.
I would like to appeal earnestly to the legislators through this committee, through you, honorable members, to facilitate the enactment of this bill. I believe that Mr. and Mrs. Soldier and their families have long awaited its impact. And please don't let them be disappointed.
Is there anybody from the commission who would like to add anything? Is the commission happy about the presentation? Edisha, ma'am.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. Indeed, our chairperson this morning has really given in a nutshell what our philosophy is as a commission and what the objectives of this bill are. And the question was raised on the issue of process, but how we arrived at this. And as you can well imagine, we haven't had much time as commissioners to act, but we were running from day one. We're sprinting like the Springboks from day one to try and do many things and achieve many things. But the consultation was as comprehensive as it could have been for the time frame that we were given. And also having in mind the urgency of this matter. First of all, the process involved us as commissioners going to the field. Because for you to work on a bill, you must know what is happening on the ground. So So we were as consultative as we could have been given the time frame. And also, research was conducted overseas, where we visited the UK and went to find out how they run such affairs and how their commissions work. And went to the USA as well to find out how they run such affairs. So we tried locally and internationally in this short space of time. And I would say that locally, as I've mentioned, we did engage with the forces at all levels, including the Navy, the Air Force, and so on, including the MSDs, the lowest ranks. And also we consulted with other commissions to find out how they're structured and if they could offer us any advice. And that included, you know, I would say the Public Office Bearer Service Commission, the Public Service Commission, the National Intelligence, the police. We sat down and engaged with them to find out how they structured their commissions, how they work, and obviously we engaged and interacted with them. And obviously we then studied the formation and the framework and terms of reference of such commissions. But distinctively, visible to us, as this interim commission was, we are not comparing the same thing. As our chairperson has succinctly explained today, what the soldier's life means. He faces the barrel of a gun, and you can't compare him with someone sitting someone comfortably on an 8-to-5 job. And also, his family is also affected, let alone the children who grow up without their fathers, their mothers. And that's why we are pleading with the committee today to say this is a unique issue of the soldiers. Let us not compare it with the others. And that's why we are calling out for the unique dispensation. And obviously, finally, we did consult with our principal, the minister, a few times on this matter. We sat down with the legal advisor. So, as you can understand, there was a process of consultation. And indeed, some of the ideas we had before, we had to alter them because of the ideas and the legal opinion that we got on what is doable in a short space of time. You know, Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson, there are things you can do in 3 years. And I don't think that was really the aim of this commission. It was to deliver something that we can right now. On those words, I'd like to thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Chairperson. There was a question related to the remarks which were made by the Chief Commander-in-Chief. The Interim National Defence Force Service Commission acknowledges that the remarks made by the Commander-in-Chief and the Minister that unionization in the SANDF is not supported has created panic and perhaps sent shockwaves across the military trade unions. Hence their submission, without exception, consistently referred to the said remarks by the Commander-in-Chief. As a result, with all the good intentions to establish a permanent National Defense Force Service Commission, the union members feel suspicious that the proposed National Defense Force Service Commission will undermine unionization in the Defense Force. So finally, there may be a need for a separate process to review the desirability or otherwise of military trade unions in the SANDF. Such a process would put to the test the expressed view or expressed wish, rather, by the Commander-in-Chief and the Minister of Defense, as stated.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. You know, we South Africans, we like to take ourselves, I don't know when what is happening, but
But we like to take ourselves as members of the club. We are a club on our own, whatever club means. I would like to thank the portfolio committee and everybody who is here. I won't thank the commission for now. It's the role of the chair. I really would like to thank the portfolio committee for their patience. Not because, yeah, but if we can be very honest as South Africans and ask ourselves why only now, that both as our acting chair was saying, please legislators, do ABCD. It was not going to be necessary that it takes so long for us to sit like this and discuss about the situation, and as the commissioner was saying, both the wife, the child, it's an encompassing thing. Kids of a soldier don't go to the gate to say 5 o'clock, my father's car is stopping. There's no time for stopping of my father's car. I'm really thanking the portfolio committee, and then in addition, requesting them that we should not wait for the boardroom discussions like this. It is our role as legislators to really go out and do serious work, because without serious work being done, there would be no country. That's why I'm saying we're global on our own, and we tend not to realize that we're global. We tend not to realize that so many countries should come to us to benchmark, because it's not really always found where people sit like this and say, what happened next to the Union Building, next to their own presidential buildings, whatever they call it. We shouldn't take this as something that would end just because there's interim commission. I'm really requesting that the honorable MPs, even when the permanent one has been installed, give that permanent commission no time to sit with them only after crisis situations have arrived. Let's work together with even the permanent one. I'm not going to say don't ask this. It's a freedom. But let's guide against delaying the installation of the permanent commission, because that is where these building bridges and blocks will really take place. That's where when you have been doing oversight, you can go and report. You can't report to the interim forever and ever and ever. So this thing that we are sitting around the table for will rely on us all. What is it that we are doing jointly? And let's not wait for crisis situation. Chair, I would like to thank your patience too. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairman. Let's also thank the media there. Don't forget those letters. Yeah, she says the whole table, so don't think you're an exception. You are also counted in Vietnam with all your different articles, but it's important that you give, a flavor to the debate that is taking place. For us, at the end of the day, the bottom line is that the defense of our country seems to be the concern of everybody. I mean, be it media, be it honorable members, be it whoever, even those that say we do it under the trees, we acknowledge those things. But at the end of the day, it's the sincerity that the member is expressing, that all of us are expressing, that we really, from the bottom of our hearts, appreciate every effort that has been made to try to look at the life of a soldier, which for the past 15 years has not been getting the attention that it deserves. So we don't feel indifferent. We feel encouraged that you have done your effort, and take it in a very nice and serious way that honorable members, as they ask these questions, they ask them because they have to learn more, and they also have to understand the environment. Some of them are new in Parliament, and these challenges might come to them as very new. And I've expressed it to unions that you must also understand that across board in our portfolio committee, there are also people who have been ordinary soldiers who would know the environment more better than any intellectual who have been in that particular environment. And I take it that they're raising issues from the bottom of their hearts because they have had the experience of what they've been confronted as soldiers, they themselves. And I appreciate when they make their point of view, because it helps us to enhance the approaches that we are taking within the portfolio committee. Honourable members, I'm going to give over to you again. The commission, in its last life, has been able to put the bill in front of you. And as you go along with our work, we'll thank them very much from the bottom of our hearts. In a short span of time, you've been able to deliver what has taken a very long time. But we'll always engage you. The hard part is that we don't appoint in Parliament. So you'll give us an opportunity to appoint, but you can't appoint you guys. Don't worry. Yeah. But we must also, thank our own members of Parliament who did it just for the fact of, it is true volunteerism. Don't think they were getting paid. You see, they were doing it out of their own pockets and trying to make sure that the country's priority is being taken serious. I really want to thank those honourable members who have put time aside to work with the commission. You have done a very good work job. I remember when I spoke to you in the Mandela function, that all of Miss, I said, you've got a lot of experience and you do need that experience. I really want to, even Nomkabade, and even Khrunabad, want to really thank you for the effort that you have put in to bring the needs of the soldiers to the forefront. Honourable members, also will thank the minister for being able to help us to process this particular one. She has been very helpful. It's very complex to deal with the soldiers. It's not easy. That's why we're engaging in different debates. Can I give over to you, my colleagues, to be able to engage? I've seen Mazia, and then I come with Tatu Khrunavald, I come with Umenir, and I come with Tatu Mpahle. Yeah, I've got those four members. I'll take note of others as they come in. Kubeka Tatu Mazia.
The commission attempted to give us a brief understanding of their work in terms of even visiting other countries. Okay. Yeah, I'm saying that the commission gave us an understanding of their commitment to their work in terms of arriving at this bill. However, in the summary, I've missed one point. The point that in that collective information, did they also try and check if the countries they've visited, whether there are unions in the Defence Force or there are no unions? I also want to check with the commission. I see that they are mentioning the bargaining chamber, but they don't tell us what will be their role in the bargaining chamber. Whether will they be participating if the bargaining chamber continues to function, or will they only serve as advisory to the minister, who will then have people that will represent the minister in the bargaining chamber? Because in the bargaining chamber, obviously, it is institutions of interest to the matter at hand. The last point, Chairperson, is the point raised by Honorable Ndabeni. Part of it, I did not hear the response. They may have responded whilst I was trying to be the tea boy for the day, and I may have missed the response. But I'm very much interested to know how they see the future of the commission vis-a-vis the trade unions in the defense force. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just want clarity from the side from the Commission. And it refers to the amendment of Section 55 of the Act. And I see this is the essence of this whole debate in terms of the unions, bargaining, and everything around that. They propose, if I understand it correctly, if you look at the amendment bill as it stands now, where it actually omits the Military Bargaining Council, that they want it to be there. So the process is still continuing with the Bargaining Council, and they just add the Commission to make recommendations to the Minister. So that is very important. I want to have clarity if that is what we actually mean by that. But then on in the Amendment Bill, we also have a sub-clause 2 as far as Section 55 is concerned. The two subsections is related to each other, because if you say the Bargaining Council and everything and the Commission is there, then we also need the process that if there is no agreement, the actions of the Minister. Now, if I look at the Act at the moment, will they be or will it be acceptable for them if we also include subsection 2? Because at the moment, as the Amendment Bill stands, it actually excludes or it omits subsection 2. What is the view of the Commission on subsection 2 as far as section 55.1 is concerned? It may sound very technically, Chairperson, but that is really the essence of all the arguments as far as the unions are concerned. And you said yourself at one stage that we must look very intensely to this amendment bill, because it can have certain problems, and we don't want to end up in court as far as these things are concerned. Will it have any effect on the working and the functioning of the Commission if we continue like that? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. And let me start by saying that I'm in complete agreement with... I'll then just confine myself to one question. But let me begin with a comment by saying that I completely agree with the Commissioner that one must know, quote, what is going on the ground before one legislates. And it's precisely for that reason that this committee needs the interim reports of the Commission. Let me come to my question. My understanding is that this Commission produced a bill which it submitted to the Minister. And presumably the bill which you submitted to the Minister included amendments to Section 55 of the Defence Act. Now you're proposing, in essence, if I understand correctly, to amend your own proposed amendments. The question that arises then is, first, is that correct? Could you clarify it? Second, on what basis do you propose to amend your own proposed amendments? And third, have you discussed your proposed amendments with the Minister? Thank you. And does she support them?
Thank you, Chair. Well, mine are just two comments. On the background, just below the scope, bullet point 2, the fundamental premise of the nature of the soldiering career is that of a life given to the state. Well, I'm a bit uncomfortable with this life being given to the state, because I think the people must come first. Because as we all know, they do come and go, but the people remain. And I think General Lumisa knows it, that he was once head of state, but that state is no more there.
Some order there.
So I'm looking
for marriages. Let them not start it yet.
I think really, and of course.
Yes,
don't listen to this Murmekar Patil.
General, it's our meeting. Don't be dictatorial.
General, be in order, please. Can you proceed?
Yeah, actually, we can also have a soldiering outside the state. I think, Honorable Chair, you know that, and former MK and former APLA know that we can have soldiering outside the state. But I think really it should be life given to the people or to the nation or to the country. But I'm not comfortable with state, you know, being given life. What if that state turns crazy and we give our life to it? Secondly, on the desirability of the union, I must thank Honorable Olumisa really to say it is deferred to another committee another commission, because really if we keep on saying what happened to the union building, I don't think it's good really to lay blame on the union, because here we are addressing the working conditions, which is the pivotal factor, not the absence of the union in the army. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. My question is on reporting 62H. To say, here the committee, section 1, say they should report in whatever, and on section 2, the minister must, as soon as practicable, after receipt of a report contemplated in Section 1, be lodged with cabinet and tabled in parliament. And how long the time frame with regard to this, to say the time frame to say when will it come to parliament after being tabled with after being sent to the minister? And the other thing is, I'm not representing COSATU, but the dispute resolution. How are you going to handle it when the members of the Defence Force are not satisfied with the salary adjustment that the Commission has recommended to the Minister? Thank you.
Members of the commission, you can have to point to some questions. You answer. This is your last day in the presentation. If you have members of parliament from here, they must know that they are going for the voting night. And they must be constitutionally formed. And what is the decision? You may have your cover, today.
Thank you, Sir President. Mine, respected Commissioner, go to 62A, subsection 3. A report contemplated in subsection 1 must not contain confidential information that would be detrimental to national security. Okay, can I get clarity on that? Who's going to say this must be classified? Who's going to say this is very important, that these honorable members honestly might risk the country? The second one is on the status of the commission. The interim chairperson of the commission, in his presentation, he mentioned that they are recommending that this commission be a ministerial one, after they've done some research and whatever. For some time, we've been under the understanding that this is the ministerial commission, hence we can't just convene you to come here. But now you're making that recommendation again for the permanent one. For the second time, Chairperson, again, it would be proper for this bill to make it a point that the expression by the president finds itself in it. So that whatever we're doing, we don't have to sit now and then. We have to gather all these legal people, spend money on going through the same thing that seeks to address now what the president expressed. If it's, if we can find a way to make it a point that it is addressed in the bill, maybe it would be proper for us as members of parliament now who adhere to whatever the president says. Thank you. The last thing. No, I'm not. I'm not. Okay. Again. I think it's 62C. I'm not sure. D. Yes. It talks about when the minister must. Sorry, can I go through so that I read it properly? Subsection 3. The minister may remove a member of the commission from office on account of misconduct. Can I be clarified, what is it that you are looking at when you say one has done what else? Because we know, as the fears that have been raised by the unions and other people, that we don't want to appoint you as commissioner. I'm saying we, as I can represent the cabinet, we appoint you as the commissioner, and then, well, when differences come up and all that, I decide, good, now, you're not the right person for this commission, you can just... That's why we want clarity now, so that when those things happen, we are able to respond. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Comrade Chairperson. About the condition of our soldiers. You know, Comrade Yale always is talking about the condition where our soldiers stay. Chairperson, it's just comment. Maybe can commission help me? We went in Limpopo province, Bed Bridge, and we were looking there. The condition where the soldiers stay is very bad. But when we say that, one of the big boss of soldiers, I don't know that he's rank, you know, he said, no, you know, can the soldiers to stay a nice place? It was it that? You know, I was starting, it was a debate in there, because some of us were saying the conditions are not right. But one of the big boss of them, he said the soldier can't relax and sleep when he's sleeping. He must stay like this. Now, we don't understand, because some of us, we are not... not the end soldiers. I don't know what's going on. But this is not right. Somebody said not right. And another thing, Jefferson, you know, I think it was very, very important, Comrade Jefferson, when my sister here, the commission, they said they went outside to compare whatever Europe and other countries to prepare this bill. Now, some of us in the portfolio committee, we don't even know. And if maybe we ourselves also went outside to learn somewhere, because I remember 3 weeks back, I was asking about this continental and international, where there is a union. But some, you know, you don't remember, he said in Europe and some other countries, it's the association, if I'm not mistaken. And we don't even know those associations, how they're operating. Between them and the committee or the government, we don't even know about that. Now, I think it was very important also, Chairperson, also, we must have chance also to go somewhere and outside to learn to other places. Then when we come here to talk with this bill, and then you'll find most of us, we've got a criminal life. First of all, Grunewald is a soldier, you know, and Honorable Helomisa, Honorable Grunewald, and some others here, Gabriel and some others. Some of us have been, and my friend here, David, That's right.
He's in the Navy,
it's
not the
soldier. So, Navy, can I have orders? Hey, this goes up to there, I'm misbehaving, I'm telling you. Dr. Tolo?
No, thank you.
Finalize. Honorable Smiley, do you have anything to say?
Yeah, thank
you. Okay.
Now, in addition to what my colleague, Honorable David Manier said, the new amendment on the other amendments. Chairperson, there is also a statement from the Commission that they are at the center of this unique dispensation. My question is to the Commission, who else is with you at the center? And that relates to the question on the new amendment. Thank you.
That he has not said anything?
Yeah.
The biggest challenge from where I'm seated is that these unions have threatened us that they are going to take up, they'll take us to the Constitutional Court. Do you think, in the manner of deferring this particular development that they're talking about, will it rescue us? Or will it take us out of the Constitutional Court? That is our biggest challenge. The one thing that makes Ndabeni's statement very solid, you see, the question of the Commander-in-Chief is a constitutional matter, but also the conditions of the soldiers and unionization. You see, we need to be able to work out that if you deal with material conditions and be very pragmatic, that they will tell you that conditions within the SANDF has pushed them towards unionization. It's not them out of their own liking, but the way conditions are in the SANDF made them to be able to find themselves agreeing to form a union. What is the Commission exactly telling us? Are you saying that with the formation of the Commission, because you see also I'm working at the background of saying, you know that they are going to be contesting for resources. There's no resources waiting for you after we've agreed on the commission. Tomorrow morning, you're going to have all the resources. Treasury is not going to open its kitty and say, yeah, let's forget about the welfare state, giving it to social welfare, let's give everything over to the soldiers. It's not going to happen in that way. How do we balance it out? You see, boys, we are looking for comfortability as members of parliament to understand that those material conditions that have persuaded these soldiers to go into unionization, will they change? You see, because if you are also going to be a commission that, you see, soldiers have got hope in the formation of the commission. But now the nature of this commission is becoming an advisory body in the manner that you are asking us now to define it. Is it the correct reflection? Is it the correct understanding? What do you think we should be all saying to what is going to be the capacity of the commission itself? Is it going to be an advisor, or is it being going to be a commission that is just talking? You see, I hear what you are saying when you say that parliament is going to be like reporting lines and everything. You see, you know, I want to be frank and honest. You see, the more you do work, and the more you do research, you grow as a commission, you see. And it means that you take money out of the kitty of the state. And parliament can't be far from that, uncompromisingly so, you see. We need to know that, how do we hold you accountable, you see. Are you saying that we must hold you accountable through the minister and all the reporting lines, which has been a difficulty of this particular bill, you see. Frankly speaking, it's been very difficult. That how do you deal with accountability of the commission itself? You can hear members, they might be jocular saying that, look, we have to wait for you to and wait for the report. But at the end of the day, with the commission that is doing work, how do we as parliamentarians have a sense that we'll be able to get you to account? Give us some comfortability, because you see, fundamentally, it's also, we should never undermine the institution created by the Constitution to be able to strengthen democratic practices, you see. And the executive has got its own role, it's accountable to us. But we just want to have a sense of comfortability that that relationship
we say that must solely rely on cabinet. That's only then when we get the budget process, which means after a year, we hear that the budget process, and then we ask the minister questions about her own budget. Because if you are involving the minister, then you say to us, the minister will be the one that will come and account to parliament on your behalf. And so it means whoever, that commission will never be able to account. Is that what is best in a political system that could work for all of us? Give us some comfortability about that, so that we can see the relationship between parliament and this particular commission. You see, I can see that you have done a well-researched approach now. You have given me and you have narrated the history of commission. But I just want you to give us some comfortability. With a legislative body of this nature, what challenges do you think would ever come up? You see, you are not, I'm not legislating for myself. I might not be there tomorrow, but Parliament will always be here in 10 to 20 years to come. What is the compatibility of strengthening that relationship or weakening that relationship? So that if I go and, I mean, I must be comfortable to say I never legislated something that becomes the fiefdom of individuals more than something that could service the soldiers themselves. You see, because for us it's also important to know that, I will tell you quite frankly, the grievance system in the SANDF doesn't work at all. It's very pathetic, you see. It's a greater challenge. How do you, if a soldier meets, like Smiley, Honorable Smiley, and he raises complaints to him, how must that member of parliament feel comfortable that the issue that would be raised at that particular moment will be addressed? You see, but if the commission is more about recommendation, what do we do? Where does the capacity lie? You see? And my last one is, you see, within that, you must understand that there are so many accounting people there. There's the Secretary of Defense, there's the Chief of Defense, there's the DG of Military Veterans. Now we are creating a commission. How does that relationship work? How will you make it possible for all of us to understand that relationship and how it's going to be working? I'm just saying that let's throw those questions in, because it's our last day to interact with you gentlemen. From here on,
and ladies.
I'm very sorry. Ladies and gentlemen. So that from here on, Comrade Stella, Honorable Stella, we will have to set out ourselves with the legal advice tomorrow to see how do we bring in the issue of the Commander-in-Chief. You see, we should leave them to express their view, but we have our views. And I'll test those views within the committee. In the few days to come, you're going to make it as honorable members the final decision of how you do that injunction in the Constitution itself. So it's a responsibility, honorable members. You see, I don't want any honorable member who's going to say tomorrow, when we go line by line, we must call the commission. This is the last day of the commission. We say goodbye for them. From next week, it becomes solely our own responsibility of looking at the bill, look at the challenges of the bill, even look at the military bargaining council, honorable Hrunawar, and see how we reconstitute that line of thinking. But I'll allow the commission to respond. But from next week, solely your responsibility. And how you make that decision, and if you get challenged in the Constitutional Court, you would have made it as honorable members yourself. Yeah. No, I'll give you an opportunity, but I must say your members are itching there.
Yes. No, I'm going to invite the members to take.
Okay,
I just wanted to respond specifically.
Is that
to
okay?
The question has been raised of the what would be of such security conscious consideration that would require care in what goes into the report. I think that honourable members would also note that these reports will be gazetted. And it is in the nature of the military establishment for there to be matters that are of a security concern. The reports go to cabinet, and there is a process of classifying documents at the various levels of reporting. And I believe it is also a practice to brief the portfolio committee in confidence in committee. And so I don't believe the intention of the law is to prevent legislators from knowing what's going on, because there are structures for that. But certainly it does provide for care to be taken to ensure that there isn't a situation where someone can, within the law, publish things that should not be published. I think that's what is intended. I have to say on behalf of the Commission that there is a sense in which we should own the what has resulted in this whole debate about the first report. Because, strictly speaking, we did say right at the beginning that the report belongs to the Minister and Cabinet, and that we're not at liberty to divulge what's in there. Not that it is... Once you see it, you'll probably know that it's something that everybody knows. But, yes, I'm not going into it, but I'm taking the responsibility for the fact that we did inadvertently lead to this when we were pressed to give highlights of what might be there. And I think that, in my view, maybe we should have stuck to the view that, because the more we say about the little that we can say, the more we invite people to ask more questions. And I think that's part of the issue. And I think that actually, in a sense, it really is our responsibility rather than that of the department, because it was an internal report. We looked at what we're looking at and share some of those thinkings. Here's what we're seeing. And I think that the question then of how long it takes becomes an issue. And I want to say that it will be a different environment, I believe, once you've got a system that's structured from what you have now of an interim a commission that's trying to find its way into what's going on the whole network of the defense establishment. I think that once you've got a system that's ongoing with regular reports that are due, there's no question of a report taking forever to come. It's just not possible, because it will be regular business. So I wanted to just make that point and be sure that I've covered that. It's also the question of the amendment to the amendment. It is this committee, ultimately, that determines what goes into legislation, as the Honourable Chair has indicated. We did make initial recommendations. Those recommendations went to Cabinet, and Cabinet then produced what you have before the committee today. And what we're doing here is to say, in the light of the reflection on all the public hearings, I mean, the public hearings would be meaningless if they didn't engage us in a way that says, let's think a little bit more about that. And the Honourable Chair has asked, if we have shared our thinking with the minister, the answer is yes, we have. And we are in agreement with the minister to make the amendment that we're proposing, because when we felt that it should be done, we thought we should just check that with them. We have done that so that they know what our recommendation is. The rest of the commissioners will take the questions.
Can I give
Thank you, Chair. Thanks for knowing that I am pressed for another one. Thanks very much. I was going to say that can you allow me to? Chair, I was touched by the contribution of Honorable Tolo. Because it tells us a lot. You have just said to the chair that you need to go back as yourself to investigate, not the investigation as understood, but to really check between the president and the minister. We are right. It doesn't end here. And all departments have been given legal teams to guide them. It's high time we make use of all those people who get paid to do ABCD. Let's not have people who are cool and collected in their offices. What this whole exercise has brought into book is to realize that if only it's not just to be in offices and get paid, so many things would have been prevented. But this example is again giving us the reality of the situation that transformation won't take place on its own. For a senior, somebody that you're talking about, he hasn't begun to be transformed. And it can't be a job of the citizens only. It's a job of this portfolio committee to ensure that our departments are transformed in action and in mouth. Let's not talk about transformation. I don't know what you did with that when you came back, but it's part of what this exercise is doing. We can't have people at the borders who are still having their foot in the old shoes. We can't, because one day there's going to be a need for a commission to investigate people who are operating in the shoes of the old order. And that's the role of the legislature. So, Chair, I just wanted to say, guys, feel free. This is our country. We cannot have another country. We can't just go back, come back from oversight, go to sleep the first night, the second night, the third night, the month, the year, with such people who can still say the soldier will have to go through this. It's post something. It's no longer like we are going to be arrested for putting things on the table. We've done those things. We've done them successfully. That's why I'm sitting here with the rest of you. We can't afford seniors who can still take us back. Thank you.
And honorable members of the portfolio committee, I think we're working within terms of reference, of which we came to you and discussed them with you. And in that meeting, if I can recall, you yourself, you asked a question on trade unions. And the minister said, I'm going to ask for an advice around this issue. And the question of trade unions in our amendment, terms of reference, was not appearing, it was removed. So it will go with saying that in any sphere where the unionization comes in, we have not dealt with it. We haven't dealt with it. And even when we were meeting people in other countries, we didn't raise that unionization because it didn't appear in our terms of reference. Then, therefore, an exercise on it, as Honorable Olomi say here, as Member of Parliament, as I say, Honorable, yeah. As also Commissioner, I think it will rest with Parliament. We cannot tamper with that Parliament exercise of unionization. Even if the President has expressed whatever he has expressed, it is outside the terms of reference of this commission. So I will say we would be wasting a lot of time if we're going to ask questions around unionization. So as I'm speaking here, I'm one of the people who participated in the old days. I'm still a unionist. Right up to now, still a unionist, even if I'm in military. I'm still a unionist. You see? So, unionization is a matter that General Olomisai have said should be taken up differently from this commission. So, that is what I would say. On the bargaining, Chair, we didn't really tamper with that. The only thing we said, it was dysfunctional. But when the reports came to us that there is a question, we agreed. affairs. We agree that there is a shortcoming here. Hence, we are putting this shortcoming not to be a shortcoming and close the gap. Is it? It's an omission on our side anyway. And it is good for people when they've made an omission that they must correct their own omission. And we are correcting that omission. And that doesn't need us to be hanged for that. I think you should appreciate that we have agreed also that there was an omission. And that omission will ask you to look at it favorably. That omission should not be removed, because you can't have a situation whereby people don't discuss holistically issues that are pertaining to their environment when that environment comes into play. And then, therefore, we would ask the honorable members of Portfolio Committee to bear with us in this regard. Thank you.
Chairperson and honorable members, you ask us to arm you concerning the threat that you might be taken to the Constitutional Court. The answer is as follows. If you don't want to go to the Constitutional Court, it is the understanding of the Interim National Defence Force Service Commission that the proposed National Defence Force Service Commission neither abolishes nor replaces the Military Bargaining Council, nor that the Defense Amendment Bill seeks to do away with the Military Bargaining Council or with the duty to collective bargaining. So we have just, as you have heard, said to you, we accept the reality. So as far as the what the government should do, should government wishes to eliminate military trade unions, for record, it has to be understood that, or collective bargaining, it will have to amend the constitution. There's no other route. Shortcut, president has expressed himself on this. That is his view. Legally, those institutions are allowed in this country. So I don't think, therefore, you should worry yourself to go to court. But if you tamper with those clauses, then they will take to court. So that's what I wanted to say.
I want to add to what the General has just said. In regard to the fact that we are not proposing, neither in the bill itself, that the Commission should participate in any bargaining process. That is not the proposal in the bill. The Commission has to engage all stakeholders in determining, in helping it make findings and recommendations to the minister on the conditions of service of the soldier. Now, in looking at this question of the conditions of service of the soldier, I think the bishop provided the background to the thinking of the commission, that is the principle that guide the processes of carrying out that first term of reference that we were given of investigating and advising on the uniqueness of the Defense Force. And that is why we then had to look what is a soldier and what is a soldier expected to do. What does he undertake when he joins the Defense Force? And then we also had to weigh what are the obligations of the state to the soldier. We say that the soldier, in accepting recruitment, takes upon himself the potential that he may lose his life. He willingly does that. And we are indicating that the Bill of Rights indicates that all of us, everybody, has a right to life. And therefore the soldier consciously looks at that and, at least for lack of a better word, gives part of the management of that to the state. The state, on the other hand, because also in the Bill of Rights, they are the non-derogable rights, and one of them is life. And in the chapter it says entirely. That means what it says, the state cannot diminish or reduce that right. So life, the right to life, is a very, it's a primary and I think first line, if one has to use. So that when you look then at the Defense Force, you have a soldier worker, you have a soldier professional, you've got a soldier doctor, you name it, they're all there. I think the right to life is primary, the others are subsidiary. And therefore what it means is that the Defense Force Service Commission has to take into account that the soldier says that I am prepared to defend you. I am sacrificing this part in the interest of the nation, that should an occasion arise or the need arise, I would do so. And therefore the obligation for us is to ensure that the conditions that surround the and support the work of the soldier is such that we can, as a state, ensure that he does not unnecessarily lose it. There's an obligation on the state to do so. So that is why we say that looking at conditions of service of a soldier involves looking at the soldier and the family. The family releases him to the not in a sense that he's sacrificing him to the state, but he enables the man to do his duty in support in defending the state. The family must be happy. Therefore, the conditions of it, because the soldier has to be so focused that he can't be saying that I'm worried that my child is not going to go to school tomorrow. He's not going to do that. The conditions, and that's the obligation that we feel the state has to provide. There has to be other supports, which the families of defense force, but even society. Because that is why we agree that when it comes to a soldier, even after he has gone, his memory must be memorialized. And
No,
I'm answering the question.
Don't worry, Tata. That
was raised by...
No, don't worry, Tata.
I'm making a comment,
Tata,
a comment on
Tata. Focus on me. Leave David alone. I'm saying that if you finish your question, the answer is that.
No, I'm just... And I'm answering the
No, I know what you're doing. I appreciate it very well.
Chair, no, thank you very much. I think I have said what I wanted to say in this regard.
Yeah. Always focus on the chapter.
And to emphasize that we are a ministerial commission that gives advice to the minister, makes findings and recommendations to the minister.
Yeah, the parliamentarians have already decided after that. Tata,
I'll give you as the last person in the committee.
You have not said, okay.
Chair, professors are not famous for admitting error. But we never make mistakes.
Okay.
But I want to answer Honourable Manu's question directly, how we came to make the mistake on, well, how I did anyway, on Section 55, 1 and 2. As my comrade has said, if you are flying a Gripen for the African Union and the United Nations peacekeeping mission over Sudan, and somebody shoots at you with a shoulder-launched missile and the Gripen goes bang and you die and your children have no father or mother and so on, the state owes you a special duty. And the intention here was to create a separate, respected, independent commission that would advise the minister, whose job it is to execute orders, on all of the conditions of service, from tools of trade, which means what sort of aeroplane, not what company you buy it from, but that it be a good aeroplane, all the way through to pay. The intention is a respected thing that the whole nation respects. They must be good people, experienced, honest, all of that. And if you're flying that Gripen, you're not flying a desk on the 14th floor of 120 Plain Street. It's a different job, and that's why we want to take it out of the public service area. They don't often shoot at 120 Plain Street, not even covered. We, in creating that commission, wanted to insert it elegantly somewhere into the existing act. And it got inserted into Section 55.1. Now, in doing that, the Military Bargaining Council was taken out, in my view, erroneously, but I said to myself at the time, it's okay, the Military Bargaining Council and the Arbitration Board in Section 2 is in the regulations, so we have not tampered with the process. Of course, when you think about it, the regulations are very much secondary to what's in the Act. And there, this is the error I'm admitting. I got it wrong legally. What's in the Act that matters? The regulations come secondary. So we are now suggesting, Chair, that Section 55.1 gets its Military Bargaining Council back in, and that Section 2 stays in. That's the arbitration, the tiebreaker. So that's our recommendation, that our name be inserted into that so that we exist as advisor to the minister. But it is not the intention that we have any direct role in the negotiation, the arbitration, the bargaining thing. That carries on before. Our intention was that this be silent, neutral on the question of union. It can be resolved elsewhere. What we want is this commission that has the respect of the whole country, because our soldiers are going to get shot at, and this will happen whether we like it or not, it is a fact of life, and die. And they, therefore, and their families, need that extra protection that they're not getting out of the public service system. It's to remedy that that we want a commission that will have the respect of the whole country, advise the minister, say, And if I can have one last little bite, I think commissions like the Jolly Commission show that an independent commission doesn't need to fear too much a dictatorial minister. The process is through cabinet, and it is a cabinet government we're talking about here, will protect against dictatorialism. We do need a mechanism whereby if somebody on the commission starts stealing the petty cash or puts his or her hand in the cookie jar, they can be removed. That's normal, and it's already an existing process. Again, for elegance, we didn't seek to rewrite all of this. So, to some chair, I think Military Bargaining Council must go back into 55.1, and we must keep, to answer Honourable Hrunovo, 55.2 as it. In other words, that's the end. Thank you.
You see, that I wanted to give the Commission as much time to express themselves, because they are not coming back tomorrow. Members of Parliament, from tomorrow, it's your duty to decide about the bill itself. I think, out of honesty and loyalty to the country, the Commission have maintained their mandate, and we should be able to release them and
we confronted with, and they've motivated as much as they can to, for them and for us to understand what it is that they're expecting out of us in writing up this legislation. So I didn't want to drag the meeting more longer than what we have done now, you see. I think what we expected from the commission has been expressed, and the responsibility goes back to members of parliament to make the decisions now. Mm-hmm. Right or wrong, they themselves have made their position very clear. Nobody can doubt that. They are quite clear, and these are good women and men who represented our country in a manner that we expected of them. We must really thank you again, the interim commission, in the manner you have conducted yourself. It's tough, but you have been able to maintain and stick to your own mandate. You know, David, I want to allow, because you see, you are not going to finish everything here. You have got an opportunity with the legal people tomorrow. So let's go to the legal people tomorrow, let's engage them. And then from next week, you make up your mind as a member of parliament, what is it that you want to insert in the bill and what is it that you don't want. Let's not keep the commission here endlessly. I want to close the meeting and let it burn.
Chair, obviously if you want to close the meeting, then we will, you know, we will obviously wrap up the meeting, and I will not have the opportunity to ask several questions that I wanted to. But my problem is the questions that I did ask were not answered to my satisfaction. So I would like to revisit especially my first question, which is about process. The Commissioner did speak about process, but I am talked to it in broad terms. But I would like the specifics of the process. Did the Commission draft a bill? Was that bill submitted to the Minister? Was it considered by the Cabinet? And what were the results of those deliberations? This is a very important matter, Chair.
Honourable Members and Commissioners, leave it to me to handle the meeting. Let's not suppress the Honourable Member. Let me hear, what are you saying?
This is a very important matter, Chair. Because the basis of the Minister's refusal to produce the interim report is about process. And the Minister argues that this matter never has never been submitted or discussed by Cabinet. And yet the Commissioner told us that in fact a recommendation was made. That recommendation went
David,
to Cabinet. And the
Honourable Member
the
David. Honourable Member David. I think the Commission has to be excused. The pros and cons of what they're raising, I've said that will be engaged by the committee. We have to judge. I think we've given everybody an opportunity to express his point of view. Let's not go to, if the commission and the ministry have expressed so far, parliament must take responsibility now. We can't expect any other person to go beyond this particular process. It's human enough of now for us to take our own responsibility. And I think what they are raising is you must debate it with the portfolio committee now. And we'll deal with it within the portfolio committee. Let's release the commission. No, I don't want to enter into conversation. I want to also, Honourable Kronabalt, I want to close the meeting. And you and David are going to discuss with us in the portfolio committee. The process will be handled. No, David. No. You see what I don't want to do?
No, I don't want to argue about it, but I think it's important while the commission is there, that I want to say.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. I don't want to go into the future, but we must understand the process of the initiating of a bill. And the commission actually said it. We as a commission couldn't produce a bill to cabinet and to parliament. The process was explained to say that we made our inputs, but then it went to the minister. And the minister give it to the cabinet. And the bill wouldn't have been tabled in parliament if it hadn't been approved by the cabinet. So that is the process. I don't want to go into detail as far as recommendations has been concerned, but that is the process.
That's why I wanted to close the meeting. Because I want members of parliament, if you have got all ears and understand what is going on. And we wanted to release the commission.
and David must raise those questions with us. We will explain it to him that how much do we understand. But I don't want to drag the commission into this matter. We have done the explanation, and he must raise it with us within the portfolio committee.
Well,
and yeah, that's what we are supposed to do. Yeah. I want to really thank you again from the bottom of our hearts for your contribution, that what you have done. We, as you are saying, it's our own responsibility as a committee to finish up this particular responsibility. Be confident enough that we are in a position to do that. Members of Parliament will meet again tomorrow at 10 o'clock to take a legal opinion. I hope the lawyers are ready tomorrow. Thank you, too. Thank you very much.
Yeah.